It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We talk about the presence of forever chemicals, PFAS contamination in drinking water around Wisconsin. PFAS, they were made by chemists in the lab, are used in things like firefighting foam and cosmetics, nonstick cookware, and food packaging like the lining of microwave popcorn bags. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel tested water from 40 homes to get a workup on the presence of PFAS compounds. Join in on PFAS and your drinking water, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Laura Schulte is government agencies and state government reporter for the Journal Sentinel. Laura, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
So this investigation, you tested drinking water from around Wisconsin for PFAS compounds. How did you decide which water sources to test?
Yeah, so my reporting partner, Caitlin Farrell, and I started out by looking at a map that was compiled by the Environmental Working Group, looking at potential emitting industries in the state of Wisconsin. And we compared that map of potential emitting industries in different municipalities against, you know, municipalities that had already attested through the state's voluntary sampling program early this year. And then we picked out municipalities that had never sampled for PFAS and then looked at the size of the municipality. If you notice, a lot of the places that we tested were smaller villages and towns. And then we went from there.
You knocked on doors to find residents willing to have their water sampled. What were those exchanges like when they opened the door?
The exchanges were really interesting. And I think one of the most interesting takeaways for us as reporters was finding out that a lot of people didn't know what PFAS were. They had never heard of them. A very small percentage of people had ever heard of the chemicals before. And it was mostly due to the fact that they were firefighters. So they had, you know, knowledge and exposure to, you know, firefighting foam and had learned about it before. So that was one of the most surprising and interesting things that we learned, which kind of made us think, you know, what is the best way for us to, you know, make sure all of these people are informed about what's in their drinking water?
So what did the tests reveal?
Yeah, so we sampled in 40 different municipalities across the state, and the testing revealed that, you know, 12 of those or 30% had levels of PFAS chemicals above new federal recommendations that were released by the Environmental Protection Agency this summer, which essentially said that any detections of PFOA or PFOS are you know, maybe a risk to human health.
What prompted you to test independently? Because the DNR has also been doing testing at sites all over the state.
Yeah, we were just really interested in looking at what was coming out of people's taps on when they were, you know, paying for water from municipal systems. And we thought that it might be a little more impactful to test tap water and say, you know, this is the water coming out of the tap in your home. And do we know what's coming out of it when there isn't widespread testing at this point?
Were any of these samples violating state or federal safety guidelines for PFAS?
None of the samples that we collected were violating state or federal recommendations at this point. We do not have a federal legal limit right now. Mm-hmm. That's something that the EPA is working on. And none of them were above the 70 parts per trillion state legal limit that went into effect this summer.
But still present to some extent. Is that right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's investigation of PFAS pollution in Wisconsin's drinking water. Laura Schulte is here, state government reporter for the Journal Sentinel. You can join in on your drinking water in your community. Thoughts on PFAS? Questions? 800-642-1234. Your investigation, Laura, just, I guess, makes me wonder, what does your reporting tell you about the need for testing, or what level of testing in the state is adequate? Because, you know, we've seen the PFAS Action Plan progress report. The Evers administration has said that they've assisted in sampling more than 125 municipal drinking water systems, hundreds of private drinking water wells. So what level of testing is adequate?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we saw and what we heard from residents whose water we tested is that they just want more testing. They want widespread testing and they want it to be happening frequently. What we know about PFAS is that, you know, they move with the water and, you know, levels can change a little bit, not a whole lot, a little bit. And, you know, to be tracking, you know, accurately, we need to be sampling a little more frequently. And that's what residents were asking for, too. They wanted to make sure that they had the most up-to-date knowledge about what was impacting their drinking water.
Of the 40 households you sampled, had their water supplies ever been tested for PFAS before?
Yeah, so actually, four of the samples that we took were retests of places that had opted into the voluntary sampling program, including Madison, which has been doing its own sampling for years now. And we just decided to do that just to compare the results coming out of the State Lab of Hygiene compared to the private lab that we contracted with, Northern Lake Services.
Were there any noticeable variations?
Yeah, so in Janesville, the state testing showed no detections of any PFAS, and we found a detection of one of the chemicals. And then in Madison, the state testing showed that there was a detect of one chemical, and where we found several chemicals in the Madison supply.
What did, in those areas, what did the water safety people tell you what those variations could mean?
Yeah, in Janesville, when we spoke with the water utility director there, he said, you know, maybe it would be, you know, wise for the homeowner to contract with a plumber and have her system checked for PFAS. But when we talked to some experts, they suggested that, you know, PFAS likely weren't coming from the pipes inside the home. So, you know, the only thing, you know, going forward there is to do more frequent testing, and in Madison, the same too.
So based on this testing you did over the summer, do you have any estimate of how many people could be exposed to unsafe levels of PFAS?
If we're going by the EPA's recommended health advisory levels that they put out this summer, you know, a large number of people are likely impacted by low levels of PFAS in their drinking water. And the 30% detections are not off of, you know, that percentage is not much different from what we've seen with other sampling so far.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel journalist Laura Schulte with us, exploring her and her colleagues' investigative work to understand the impact of PFAS contamination around our state, testing 40 homes connected to municipal water systems. Join in with your PFAS precautions, concerns in your home, questions you have about the process, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sampled municipal tap water in dozens of homes around the state, trying to get a better understanding of how widespread PFAS contamination is. Also, the DNR launched an interactive data viewer tool last month that includes dots on a map of known PFAS contamination, as well as where monitoring is underway by the state. Join in on PFAS and your community or household's knowledge of exposure, 800-642-1234. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel journalist, government agencies reporter Laura Schulte stays with us. Laura, we heard from Jeremy in Racine, called in, couldn't stay on the line, but they are wondering why it's taken so long for the Environmental Protection Agency to create federal standards regulating PFAS. Do you have any insights there?
Yeah, so regulating PFAS federally has been an issue because, you know, of course, there has been pushback on that. And, you know, there has been lobbying by, you know, business, by industries that use PFAS routinely, pushback to having, you know, regulations. But there's also the issue that PFAS are so widely used in so many consumer goods. And then there's also the question of how to regulate PFAS. This is a family of chemicals that are, you know, over 10,000 substances big. And how do we, you know, kind of attack that issue? Do we regulate them as a group, or do we regulate them in smaller groups or individually? So those have been some of the questions, you know, that regulators have had to look at. And then just besides the fact that, you know, the wheels of government tend to turn a little slow, so these kinds of things don't happen overnight.
At the state level, too, some lawmakers have wanted federal standards before putting in place state standards. Where are we at with state standards?
Yeah, so this summer, Wisconsin had standards go into place for PFOA and PFOS, which are two of the most well-known and well-researched compounds in the PFAS family. And those are at 70 parts per trillion, either separate or combined, when they're found in water. And that is in drinking water or surface water. And surface water does have some different standards there too, but drinking water is mainly what we're talking about here. Groundwater is still unregulated.
How do Wisconsin's limits compare to states like Michigan or other states?
Wisconsin's limits are a little bit higher than other states in the Midwest, which is something that we explored in our story. So in comparison, in Michigan, the allowable limits for PFOA and PFOS are 16 and 18 parts per trillion. And then in Maine, the limit is 20 parts per trillion for both compounds in comparison to the 70 parts per trillion here in Wisconsin.
Where is that coming from? I mean, what pressure has come from the state business lobby, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, about, you know, 70 parts per trillion, how PFAS is being regulated?
Yeah, so initially, the Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin proposed 20 parts per trillion to be the limit for Wisconsin drinking water. But there was pushback up until the summer. The EPA had older guidelines that were, or recommendations, sorry, that said 70 parts per trillion that were recommended in 2016 under the Obama administration. And so the business lobby kind of pushed for that 70 parts per trillion, for that number then to be dropped much lower this summer.
Let's take a call now. Michael with us in Green Bay. Michael, hi.
Hi, good morning. Quick question. Now that this has been tested and the municipalities have seen the results, has anyone decided, okay, we need to go forward with a remediation plan? Are some of these chemicals even able to be removed, or are some of them not able to be filtered out or adjusted in the groundwater and municipal water?
Michael, thank you. Laura, what action do you see in the water systems you tested at the municipal level?
You know, right, a lot of these really, these low levels that we're seeing, while they are above those health advisory limits, we're not seeing technology that is able to filter PFAS out to that level at this point. In some places like WASA, for example, who had a detection of PFAS above 20 parts per trillion in all of their municipal wells earlier this year, they're installing a granulated activated carbon system, which will be able to remove PFAS to a very low level. But for municipalities that are, you know, below that 20 parts per trillion, which remains the, you know, the health advisory here in Wisconsin, recommended by DHS, you know, municipalities aren't taking action at levels at this point.
But I think beginning this month, the DNR is going to begin testing all public water systems quarterly under the new state regulations. How will that work? How will that roll out?
Yeah, so starting on November 1st, the DNR's testing requirements went into effect kind of on a rolling basis, kind of designated by the size of the municipality. So right now, the larger municipalities are going to have to start sampling this month and submitting quarterly and then submitting those results to the DNR. So places like Madison, Milwaukee, Janesville, for example, are, you know, had to begin their sampling program and submit those results to the DNR. And then in January, there will be, you know, medium-sized municipalities. And then starting in April, small municipalities will start having to start sampling quarterly. So we'll see those results coming out, and we'll likely know, you know, where municipalities in the state stand with public water systems, you know, by next spring.
And those results would be public knowledge. I mean, I would imagine that they would that would be published, you know, along with what else is in your drinking water. Or how might the transparency work there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, a really good way to look at that would probably be through the DNR's new PFAS data viewer that was released last month. And another way would be to check out your consumer confidence report that comes from your drinking water system every year. So, you know, you're getting other information about other contaminants that water systems have to routinely test for. And now that they have to begin sampling for PFAS, you'll probably see some data about PFAS showing up in that report.
We're talking about PFAS pollution in Wisconsin's drinking water systems. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Laura Schulte is with us. Still time to talk about PFAS, 800-642-1234. Laura, if someone is worried about whether their water is contaminated with PFAS, what options do they have?
Yeah, if you're really worried about PFAS contamination, of course, there's the option to test your own water. But, you know, the tests for PFAS are expensive. You know, they start at, you know, $360 a piece, depending on the lab that you're sending them to. But there are other actions that you can take. The National Sanitation Foundation has a list of filters that have been rated to remove PFAS, you know, from tap water. So, you know, you could get a pitcher that kind of looks like a Brita to put your water through. Or, you know, there are also options for whole house filters or under the sink filters that just filters all of the water coming out of your sink.
Does that take care of the problem completely? And what about the cost?
Yeah, the cost can be prohibitive. And that's one of the issues in dealing with PFAS right now, is kind of trying to figure out how to reduce the cost to individuals who are worried about this issue.
The DNR, you know, as you talk about people worried about this issue, the DNR has this external advisory group giving feedback to state regulators about PFAS pollution. They have another meeting next month, and do you see citizens' concern about this issue pushing lawmakers to take action?
Yeah, we have seen citizens really, you know, come together and, you know, talk to and go to legislators about this. And what we've kind of seen is a little bit of partisan gridlock on PFAS issues. A lot of times, you know, action is being, you know, proposed by one side and declined by the other. And I think that, you know, PFAS, like many of the issues in our state, have kind of been caught up in that partisan gridlock.
What are your next steps for PFAS and monitoring this issue?
You know, keeping a really close eye on what the Environmental Protection Agency is doing right now. They are supposed to release their suggested legal federal recommendations for drinking water by the end of this year. So really keeping a close eye there. And, you know, just keeping a close eye on groundwater regulations. So those are in the works once again by the DNR. So we will, you know, be getting a first look at what those recommended limits for groundwater could be, you know, in the coming 6 months.
And I want to just, in our few moments left together, give a plug to your public investigator statewide initiative. Can you tell us what has been launched here, you know, in light of this PFAS investigation?
Yeah, so the Journal Sentinel is looking, you know, for tips. Is there an issue that you want public investigator to look into? You know, feel free to send, you know, an email, you know, to our public investigator tip line. We want to hear your tips. We want to chase leads and uncover the truth across our state, anywhere in Wisconsin.
Laura, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on today.
Laura Schulte is government agencies and state government reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We have a link to their PFAS investigative reporting. It's at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.